We mentioned it yesterday in passing. I'm going to bring it up again today. We quoted a medrash yesterday from Shir Hashirim Rabbah. And one of the things that it said, the angels said about the Jewish people, when they learn in a positive way, is there's no sin'ah, zeh zeh, no hatred for one another, lo tiknu, zeh zeh, and there's no kinah, there's no jealousy from one to another. And then it says, there's no competition. Eva kinah sinah v'tacharut b'nehem. There's no competition. Now, competition is something which is it's interesting because on the one hand, competition is something very much built into our system as something which is valuable and beneficial. And it's a question if that's really the case. The way that schools work is not necessarily beneficial for students. It's not necessarily built in a way which encourages learning in a healthy way. And we started speaking yesterday about yeshiva being an environment which is conducive for spiritual growth, then one has to ask themselves if having competition is something which is valuable. You'll find that in schools where competition is used, it usually backfires and doesn't encourage the children to have a love for learning. Because when you set one child up against the other child, instead of training the child to love their learning, you train the child to love winning. And the way that you win doesn't mean that you have to know the Torah well. It just means you have to know the Torah better than whoever the competition is. Let's say you have a Chidon Tanakh. So in the Chidon Tanakh, in order to win, you don't have to know Tanakh perfectly. You just have to figure out who is getting my competition this year, how much do they know, and as long as I'm better than them, then I'm going to win the Chidon Tanakh. Because the way it's designed is one kid against another kid. And what is it? So it doesn't help for a connection to the Torah. And what about connection between people? That also harms, just setting up someone against someone else. If someone else wins, I lose. And if I win, someone else loses. That's not conducive for encouraging a healthy environment. And everyone loses, really. Because the person who wins, it could very easily lead him to arrogance. Because you set him up not as it's valuable to learn Torah for Torah's sake, but it's valuable to learn Torah because that shows how you're better than everyone else. And our goal here is that you're better than everybody else. That's going to likely lead to arrogance. And everybody else who tried their hardest and put in their maximum effort and did all they could, we're saying to them, that's not good enough. We don't care that you put in everything that you can. That's not according to our standard, and therefore you're worthless. You didn't get first place. So we give them some prize to make them feel, it's okay, you did some, they call it Hebrew, Tanchumin prize, consolation prize. But what are you saying to them? Your best is not on our standard, it's not good enough. And that's not MS. That's not MS. That's not the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu works. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at every individual and judges them according to their own standard. He doesn't judge them according to other people's standards. The concept of competition is not a Torah concept. In fact, there's a proof from the Mishnah that it's an anti-Torah concept. The Gemara says, the Mishnah says in Yoma, that initially, when they wanted to give out the different roles for the Kohanim, what they would be doing, they would have a competition. And they would say to the Kohanim, run up the Kevesh, and whoever gets within the top Dalet Amos first, he's the one that can do that Avodah. And it happened one day, they were running up, and the one pushed the other one off, and he fell off and he broke his leg. There's a more severe story in the Gemara of a stabbing, and then a whole question of tumah that took place, and the fathers say, quickly take out the knife before the knife gets tummy, where you see that the constant competition was so great that it even overrode life. And then they got rid of it. He said, okay, no more competition. We see that it's not effective. It's not encouraging Yirat Shamayim. So, you see here in this Medrash, the angels say, Ribono shel Olam, Torah shenatata liYisrael, einan oskim ba, harei tacharut b'nehem. When the Jews learn in a way of competition, that's not called Torah. That's what the Medrash says. That's not called Torah. Because what is it? It's me proving that I'm better than someone else. Everyone loses when you have competition. So when someone comes to Keren B'Yavnei Yeshiva, if they look at the base Medrash, as a place where they can prove how they know more, or either by their depth of understanding, or by how quickly they're getting through sources, or how many hours a day they're learning, or any type of measure which they think highly of themselves, or chas v'shalom look down upon someone else, because someone else is not on my standard of pace of how quickly they're going in Bikias, or how many hours a day we're learning, or which type of learning we're doing, or which level of learning we're doing. That is possible. That is not considered Torah. That's called Ein Torah B'nehem. If a person comes to yeshiva, and like we were describing yesterday, forms the ideal community of, we all care about learning because our goal is the understanding of Torah to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's irrelevant what pace someone else is up to. It's irrelevant what other svarim other people do. It's irrelevant, I mean, if I can learn from, or if I can hear from someone else, they're learning a sefer, and I can take that on, great. And they'll say I shouldn't learn from other people. But it's not, I feel my worth comes from my judging where someone else is up to. That is what harms people in yeshiva. You can sense it immediately that you feel bad about yourself, and it's not even true. That's not how Hashem works. Maybe the schools work that way and it damages children. You don't have to bring that into yeshiva. That's not the way the yeshiva works. Even when we do tests in yeshiva, it's not a concept of, well, if you get a test, what did you get this? What prize you're going to get? Make this person first, this person came second. That's not a concept at all. Everyone who can do a test, everyone can get a grade, everyone can get points towards Sfarim, and everyone is inherently valuable. In fact, ideally, it wouldn't even be that you would grade it according to a test where you have to have learned a certain amount of material. It would be individually graded, where a Rebbe would sit with each Talmud, hear him learning how he's learning, and as long as the Rebbe sees that that Talmud is putting his maximum effort, that would be the grade, give you a whole according to that. In the Zilberman school in the old city of Yerushalayim, where they have this concept very clear and very well, they don't have tests which judge children against other children, and they don't even give prizes according to who did best in something. Rather, the Rebbe stands there learning with the children, and throughout the day, as children are learning well, he gives out small candies or small nuts or something. He just gives out. I mean, it's not based on how much you achieved compared to other people. It's based on, I see you're putting an effort, here you go. In the middle of the day. Not at the end, after you did a test and you prove. Rather, you're learning now. What you're doing now is sweet. It's encouraged. Let me show you that it's valuable. And the Rebbe gives out free. He has a huge stash of candies or nuts, whatever it is. Some parents don't like the fact that it's not healthy, so he has nuts sometimes. But he gives that, and that makes sense, because that's true. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't say, what you're doing now is not worthy, but if you do a test at the end and you do well, then maybe it's worthwhile. Hashem says, what you're doing now is valuable. So that's in line with the way that Hashem judges us. It's what you're learning Torah now, you're putting in effort now, that has value. Let me show you that in this physical world, that it has value. That's a true way of testing. That's a true value. So I'm handing that over to you. If you are in yeshiva and you have a mindset of, we're all in this together, we're all growing together, it's not about where you're up to, we're up to, we're not competing, we're not judging, we're not saying, we're not judging others and we're not judging ourselves. It's not about I'm only worthy if someone else is up to my place or I'm up to someone else's place. It's irrelevant, irrelevant. Just think of it from Hashem's perspective. Hashem's perspective is that you're putting in the effort according to the strength that Hashem gave you. Of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't judge you by kochos that he didn't give you. That's ridiculous. He's only going to judge you according to the kochos that he gave you. So that's the way Hashem judges you. That's the way you should judge yourself as well. And when you judge yourself the wrong way, you'll sense in your bones that you're upset and you're frustrated. And it's all based on a mistake. It's because you're using the wrong model of how to judge. You're using a false model of a valedictorian model of one person is the best and everyone else is not worthwhile. And who's going to make it to be the top? Who's going to get the award? That's a false model. It's not a Torah model. It's not a true Torah model at all. And it harms everyone. It harms the arrogant one who wins, and it harms all the losers who put in their maximum effort. Take that model out of the base of Medrash. Someone who learns that model is not Torah what they're learning. And when you do that, not only are you false, like saying, don't worry, it's okay, you did well as well. No, it's true. It's true. You did as well as you could, and that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects of you. That Tanchumin prize makes a person feel pathetic. Okay, you did well as well, you put in effort. And the person feels, because according to the other model, the competition model, it really is pathetic. But according to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's model, that's the real winner. The real winner is the one who didn't judge himself and other people, but judge himself based on his own effort that he's putting in. And so many times I speak with guys who are upset about their own performance in yeshiva, and it emanates from this. emanates because they're viewing the wrong model. They're viewing yeshiva through the competition model and not through the Torah model. And when we can reframe and see Torah from Torah's perspective, not Torah from a secular valedictorian perspective, then you will be able to see, you'll have the true joy of learning Torah. You'll have a true simchas chayim, a real happiness with who you are, and happiness with your relationship with Torah and your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because you're doing it according to the real, true model of Hashem. So Hadevarim Brurim, Malachi HaShares are called friends, because it's said there in the Medrash, they're called Chaverim. They're called friends because they work together. They all realize that they're partners in serving Hashem, and they're one team working together to serve Hashem. That's what they're called Chaverim. Why? Ki ein b'neihem tacharut. Because there's no competition between them. It's clear to the angels that they were each given a particular role. Michael, Gabriel, Zadzael. They each have their particular unique role, and they're doing what they uniquely need to do. They're not saying, why aren't I Gabriel? They know, Hashem appointed me to do this job, I'll go and do it. To them it's clear. It's a false model to think that you have to try and be and copy someone else. Talmidei Chachamim, yesh lehem yetzer hara. And therefore for them it's a challenge. Because they do say, oh, I want to be like him. And there is a sense of competition. But when they're able to override it, when they're able to move past that, and if the angels, it's not a chiddush, they're like that, because they weren't programmed that way, that they have kinah within them. And there's no kinah even to begin with. We do have kinah within us. But once you recognize the Torah's model, you can overcome it. Because it comes from a mistaken view. It comes from a mistaken perspective. Torah tam mitakenet otam. And as you learn Torah, it refines you and it fixes you with this perspective that we've described. Al kein nikru chaverim gam hem. And therefore we can be like angels and be chaverim. The angels are chaverim because they realize they're all serving a Kodesh Baruch Hu jointly and unitedly to serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu. For us, it's an avodah to get to that. It's not natural for us. Meaning a natural way for us will be, if he's getting something, that means there's not enough left for me. And if he did it very well, that means I'm not as good. That's a natural way that a person could think if they haven't refined themselves. But as you learn Torah, and you recognize Torah's sources, you'll see that's false. And then we can also be called Chaverim. Chaverim, we're all working together to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not one against the other. It's united in serving Hashem. Chaver, this is the Rambam's commentary on Demai, on the Mishnah Yisrael. Chaver nikra Talmud Chacham, v'chein nikru Talmud Chachamim Chaverim. Talmud Chachamim are called, a nickname of Talmud Chachamim is Chaverim. V'ulai nikru b'zeh Hashem, says the Rambam. Why are Talmud Chachamim called Chaverim? Why? Where does that come from, their name? Why did Chazal call them that name? Maybe, says the Rambam, ki chavrutam zeh lezeh chavera ne'emana. Because that's a true, loyal friendship. A friendship where it's not one against the other. We're working together for the service of Hashem. Ki hi chavera chabura l'shem shomayim. Because that's a group of people who their connecting point is serving Hashem. People get together for lots of things. Some people get together because they're pensioners and they want to get rights for pensioners. That's their point of connection. Some people get together because they extremely randomly chose a football team and they said, I'm a fan of them. And then everyone else randomly is their friend because they also randomly chose the same football team. And now we're all on the same boat together for no logical basis or logical reason. Some people are chaverim because they happen to come from the same town or because they daven the same nusach. There are lots of things that could make us chaverim and join us together. Some more inherent and some random. But the real one is l'shem shamayim. When we're on the same team and you find a soulmate, and your soulmate emanates from the fact that we're on the same page of wanting to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the ultimate connection. Because if your point of connection is the fact that you both support the same football team, and there's a very, very, very small, random overlap where you can have common ground and speak about it. Did you watch the game? Well, yeah, I watched the game. But then beyond that, what are you going to speak about? When you're both in the same nusach, and the same background, then you could say, oh, did your grandfather also eat that very spicy food? My grandfather also ate that spicy food. And then you have some overlap over there. Right? But when your overlap is l'shem shamayim, it's yirat shamayim, it's growth to close Hashem, your whole world is overlapping. Everything that you do will be the same perspective. The way that you do business will be from a place of yirat shamayim. The way that you learn Torah will be a place of yirat shamayim. The relationships that you have will always, the question will be, what can I do to serve Hashem? And that will permeate every single topic. Maybe you work at a different profession, and therefore that profession might not be the same overlap, but your business ethic will be the same, because you're a chabura l'shem shamayim. So when you're looking for your overlaps of people and who's going to be your friend, look for that to be your overlap, your l'shem shamayim overlap. Then you can have a true friend, a friend which you can discuss every topic with. Ulam, עד שנזכה לכך, להיותנו חבורה לשם שמיים. So we haven't yet got there necessarily, but coming to yeshiva means everyone who's already come to yeshiva has already shown that's what they want. They've come to, the fact you've come to this yeshiva has shown that this is the type of friends you're looking for. This is the type of group that you wish to form. This is the type of friends that long term, even after leaving yeshiva, you would phone up and you would say, I want to discuss something about Avodah Hashem with you, and you know you'll find an ear of someone who's on the same page as you long term. In order to form that, it's our obligation to ensure that there's a basis of Derech Eretz. The way that we relate to others is with manners which don't emanate from the Buckingham Palace, but manners that emanate from Yirat Shamayim. And you ask yourself, what would that enable that person to feel good about themselves? And this topic I really could go on for a very, very, very long time for, but speech, there's more than just speech, but speech is something which we need a lot of training in. Because sometimes the place where I bring my speech from may be a place of caring, but the words that were said ended up being words that were harmful. I'm going to give you an example of something which till this day rings sore in my mind. There was once someone who came to visit the yeshiva, and they went out of their way to visit. And someone else saw them and said, what, you went so far to come and visit? Now, the person who said that line meant it from a place of, I respect you and I'm admiring you, that you went so out of your way to come and visit. That was what they meant. It came from a place of caring. But the words were, what, you went so far to come visit the yeshiva? Now, I don't know why they chose those words. I don't think they know. I don't think it even comes from a place of not being sensitive. I don't think they're even aware of the concept. But the way that person took it was offensive. They were offended. And they came back to me afterwards and they said, what do they want from me? I was trying to do a good thing and they're accusing me. Now the other person, I was thinking, was standing in Yom Kippur and was saying to themselves, I'm basically good. When I see someone, I approach them and I make them feel welcome. That's what I believe that first person will say to Hashem when they stand in Yom Kippur. And that second person, probably thinking in Yom Kippur, I don't know if I can bring myself to forgive him for what he said. And the first person doesn't even know he needs to ask for forgiveness. Because even though you know that it's emanating from a place of caring, but if you're not sensitive to your words, it could be that you're being offensive to someone else and not even being aware of that. And it takes a lot of training and a listening ear to be sensitive to hear what you're saying. And therefore there's a basis of Derech Eretz in the Chevra. And I hear many times friends who are friends and are saying things from a place of friendship, but they're making fun of the other people. And if you point it out, they go, yeah, everyone, he does it to me, I do it to him, we're all okay with it. But I'm not so sure. And I know that it goes both ways, and I know everyone does it to everyone else. But I'm not so sure if everyone's really, really, really happy that that's happened. But they're not going to be the weak one who's going to say, truth is that I prefer you don't say that, it really actually offends me. No, who's going to say that? I'm macho, I'm tough, you joke at me, I'll joke back at you, and we're all like tough together and laughing along together and laughing and trying to overcome our bruised ego, which is really being offended now, and then maybe talk on the wall about it later with Rav Davidson. But really, it's offensive. Really, it's offensive. So everyone's joking together and having a good laugh, mocking each other, jesting each other. I don't think that's like all the conversation that happens, but it definitely happens. And there's a sensitivity there which people are too scared to speak up and say, I appreciate if you wouldn't say that, because like, who says that? I get to be a guy. That's not the way a guy speaks. And therefore they wouldn't say it, but at the same time they hurt. And therefore a basis of Derech Eretz requires a sensitivity of the ear. And then a learning of how to say what you really mean to say. What you really mean to say is, I care for you. One line also, I'll just give another example, one line which is really unfortunate, is when someone, let's talk about a child and a parent, right? Where someone's hurting. A child is hurting. And eventually, they build up the courage to say to their parent how they're hurting. And the parent comes out with the line of, why didn't you tell me until now? Now, what does that line mean, why didn't you tell me until now? You know what it means? It means, I care for you so much, and it upsets me that you've been hurting until now, and I wish I would have known earlier that I was able to help you. Meaning, the line emanates from a place of caring. But the words are extremely insensitive. The words are, not only are you hurting, but I'm going to blame you and it's your fault that you didn't mention it earlier. That's what the words say. That's really unfortunate. Now the parent means to care. Means to show caring and loves. The parent loves. But there's a sensitivity of Derech Eretz which maybe wasn't learnt and it wasn't part of the culture and it's not part of the culture. But a Chabura Lashem Shemayim will learn that and create that as their culture. To speak in a way which is only building and only encouraging and only enhancing the growth of Avodas Hashem and Yirat Shamayim. One more line. Bo'o Ro'eh HaBidarato HaNifla'a Shel HaRambam. Look at this amazing, wondrous definition that Rambam gives of what Derech Eretz is. Kol She'enu Lo B'Mikra V'Lo B'Mishna V'Lo B'Derech Eretz Einu Min HaYishuv. That's what the Mishnah says at the end of Kiddushin. And when the Rambam, on his commentary on the Mishnah at the end of Kiddushin, explains the phrase Derech Eretz, he says the following. Derech Eretz Hi Chaburat B'nei Adam, a group of people that we're creating here in this conversation as we speak together, we're creating it in an even stronger way. A group of people, Chabura Tova B'nachas V'Musa. A group of people who the way that they relate to each other is B'nachas V'Musa. Two conditions. Number one is it's pleasant. It's pleasant to be around. It's enjoyable to be around. When I'm with you, I feel good about myself. There are some people who, when you're with them, you don't feel good about yourself. And therefore, sensitively, you try and avoid their company. There are some people who, when you're with them, you just feel good about who you are. You're happy with who you are when you're around them. Benachas, it's enjoyable to be around. That's condition number one, benachas. What is said benachas is accepted warmly in an enjoyable way. That's point number one. And point number two is musa. Those two points we'll come back to as the Shem, and next time we'll go to them. Ashreinu shezachinu lakim chaburah l'shem shamayim.